إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. حديثنا عن تزكية القلوب سيأخذ عدة جلسات، ولذلك فإننا سنقسم هذه الجلسات محاولين أن نبين الأصول التي يعتمد عليها هذا الأمر في كتاب الله وفي سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي كلام سلفنا الصالح رضوان الله عليهم. فالأمر الأول الذي ينبغي أن يعرف ويعلم أن تزكية النفس وتطهير القلب جزء لا يتجزأ من دعوة الإسلام، ومهمة عظيمة من مهمات بعثة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهي إحدى الأصول التي تقوم عليها الدعوة السلفية. أما إنها جزء لا يتجزأ من الإسلام فقد وصف ربنا تبارك وتعالى محمد رسوله بأنه جاء ليزكي ويطهر النفوس. قال الله تعالى: هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. إذن هذا الأمر أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقوم على تلاوة آيات الله على الناس، وعلى تزكيتهم، وعلى تعليمهم الكتاب والحكمة. إذن هي جزء لا يتجزأ من دعوة الإسلام، وهي مهمة من مهمات بعثة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، بل هي جزء هام من هذا، كما في الحديث حديث أبي هريرة الحسن: إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق، إنما بعثت لأتمم صالح الأخلاق، كما في الرواية: إنما بعثت لأتمم حسن الأخلاق. فرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يبين في هذا الحديث أنه بعث ليتم مكارم الأخلاق، وبمكارم الأخلاق تتطهر القلوب، وبمكارم الأخلاق تتزكى النفوس. فضل الله.
The Sheikh began by reading Khutbat al-Hajah that the Prophet, again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to read and say whenever he came to the Muslims. And he said that after this, today's talk, inshallah ta'ala, is going to be about purifying the soul, or the purification of the soul. He said that this particular issue, purification of the soul, is going to be dealt with, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in different sittings that we're going to have, inshallah, at this masjid. He said, so with that being the case, he's going to divide up these lessons into different lessons, because he wants to take the time and advantage of the time to explain the usul of this most important issue. And he's going to explain it according to the Quran and according to the Sunnah and according to the statements of the Imams of the past. The Shaykh went on to say that the very first thing that has to be recognized and known is the fact that this issue, purification of the soul, is a part of al-Islam. It is an essential part of al-Islam that is not, or cannot be, divorced from al-Islam. He went on to say that it is extremely important, because this is the reason that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent. And he also said that the purification of the soul is one of the principal pillars of which the Dawah to Salafiyah rests upon. The Shaykh went on to say, as for this purification of the soul being a part of al-Islam, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the reason why he's come. And Allah said in this ayat, Allah, He is the one who has sent a prophet to the unlettered people. He is the one who has sent to you a prophet from amongst yourselves, from the unlettered people, so that he can read to you the signs of Allah and rehearse unto you those signs, and that he may purify you and that he may teach you the wisdom. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. He said also, another proof of this purification of the soul being from al-Islam is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which it clearly explains to us the reason why the Prophet was sick sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily I have been sent to perfect the character. The reason that I have been sent is for the perfection of the character. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of saying makaram and akhlaq, he said the, used the word, the betterment of the character. And in yet another narration, he used the word hasan, or the good character. All of these narrations are authentic, as the Shaykh said, and they all explain to us the reason for the Prophet being sent sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, therefore, this explains to us that the good character in it, we will find that people's hearts will become purified as well as their Islam.
فإذا علمنا ذلك أخوتي في الله ينبغي أن نعلم أن هذا من دعوة أبينا إبراهيم لنا ومن ملة إبراهيم التي أمرنا أن نتبعها. يخبر الله تبارك وتعالى إن إبراهيم دعا ربه هذه الدعوة، قال وابعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتك ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب. إذن هذه الدعوة دعوة أبينا إبراهيم، ويحققها نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فلا استغربن أن تكون هذه المنزلة، هذه المسألة لها ثقل في دين الله تبارك وتعالى، لها ثقل لا يعدله ثقل، في دين الله تبارك وتعالى. ولذلك فإن من أبرز الصفات التي مدح بها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الخلق الحسن الخلق العظيم، وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. سأل سعد بن هشام عائشة رضي الله عنها عن خلق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقالت له: أما تقرأ القرآن؟ قال: بلى. قالت: كان خلقه القرآن، خلقه القرآن. لذلك فإن أول معجزة استدل بها رسول الله واستدل بها العالمون على صدق رسول الله هي حسن الخلق، هي مكارم. وأضرب على ذلك مثالين من السنة. لما نزل الوحي المبارك جبريل عليه السلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غار حراء وحدث بينهما ما حدث، فقال له: اقرأ. قال: ما أنا بقارئ. قال: اقرأ. ما أنا بقارئ. اقرأ ثم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق إلى آخر الآيات. رجع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى زوجه، أخبرها الخبر. هل كذبت أم صدقت؟ صدقته، وأيقنت أنه لا يتكلم إلا بحق. طيب بماذا استدلت السيدة خديجة رضي الله عنها على صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمكارم الأخلاق؟ قالت: والله إنك لتصل الرحم وتطعم الضيف وتعين على نوائب الدهر، وعددت مكارم أخلاق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. والله لن يخزيك الله أبدا. إذن استدلت بمكارم أخلاق رسول الله على صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم كان ماذا؟ عندما جاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قومه ليفضع لهم بالأمر، جمعهم على الصفر وقال لهم: أرأيتم لو أني أخبرتكم أن خيلا خلف هذا الجبل ستغير عليكم أكنتم مصدقين؟ قالوا: نعم، ما بلونا عليك كذبا قط، فأنت الصادق الأمين. قال: إني رسول الله إليكم. بما استدل الرسول الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم على صدقه وإقامة الحج على قومه بمكارم أخلاقه، بأنه اشتهر بينهم بالصدق والأمانة. فالذي يصدق طول عمره لم يأتي في فترة من الفترات يكذب، لأن من جبل على الصدق لا يكذب، لا يعرف الكذب. لا يزال الرجل يصدق، انظروا، ويتحرى الصدق حتى يكتب عند الله صديقه، أي الذي يصدق ويستمر على الصدق ويصبح الصدق له صفة لا يمكن أن يكذب. لذلك عد العلماء مكارم أخلاق رسول الله من دلائل نبوة رسول الله.
The Sheikh went on to say that if we know what has been presented before this, what he said initially, he said that we come to the realization that the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been sent to purify the people and to read to them the signs of Allah and to teach them the wisdom, this is the da'wah of our father Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, because we have been ordered in the Qur'an to follow the millah or the way of Ibrahim. The proof that this is the da'wah of our father Ibrahim is the ayat in the Qur'an in which Ibrahim prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he supplicated to Allah asking him and send to them
a messenger from amongst them who will purify them and who will teach them the book and wisdom. So the Shaykh went on to say, since this is the da'wah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, it is not strange that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has come to actually fulfill that da'wah of his father. So he went on to say that another issue that's very important, Ikhwan, is that it should not be strange in the minds of any of you that this purification of the soul is surely a deed that is heavy or difficult. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was described in the Quran with many superlatives. But one of the descriptions that was used the most, and it was the weightiest, was the description of his good character. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him in the Quran, verily, you have good character, or you are on good character. He said we should consider the statement of Sa'id ibn Hisham, who said to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, tell me about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Aisha, after being asked this question, she said to Sa'd, have you not read the Quran? Do you not read the Quran? She went on to say, verily his character was the Quran. The Shaykh went on to say, for that reason, the fact that his character was the Quran, and that he was a person who had good character, he said, for that reason, this character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to be the first sign or miracle that the people of Al-Islam use to prove his prophecy. When we look at his life, when we look at his behavior, the very first characteristic that we want to use to prove he was a prophet is the type of character that he exemplifies. The Shaykh said he wants to share with you brothers two examples to prove that point, that his character is the first mu'jiza out of all of the other miracles that he was given that the ulama of Islam have used to show that he is a prophet. He said the first example is what took place with the one who brought the revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the Mount Hira, and Jibreel came to him, and he said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, read. The Prophet responded by saying, I cannot read. He ordered him a second time and a third time. Each time the Prophet responded sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, I cannot read. I'm unable to read. And then Jibreel went on to rehearse unto him the first five ayat of Suratul Alaq. Read in the name of your Lord, the one who has created, the one who has taught man by the pen, and the ayat are well known by all of us. The Shaykh said, after this incident, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to our mother Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he asked the question, what was the position of Khadija when he brought this information to her? Did she disbelieve him or did she believe him? Obviously, she believed his statement. And she knew that what he said was the truth. And she used as a proof his good character that they knew about him prior to this incident. So she said to him, verily you are one who was given to connecting the ties of relation, your relative. And you are one who feeds your guests when they come to you. And you are one who helps a person who is in need. And she went on to say many of the characteristics that he was well known for. She went on to say, I swear by Allah, Allah is not going to dishonor you ever if this is your situation. So the proof of this ayat is the fact that Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha used the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as proof that he was a truthful man and that he was a prophet indeed. The second example, Ikhwan, is the example that took place when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to give the initial da'wah to his people when he went to the mountain of Safa. When he went on this mountain and he gathered the people of Mecca And he said to them, what would be your opinion of me if I said to you people, behind this mountain there is an impending army about to attack you? They said in response to that, you are As-Sadiq al-Amin. You are the truthful one, the trustworthy one. And we do not know you to be a man who has lied before. So we have no choice and no alternative except to believe that statement. After hearing that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say, then bear witness that I am the messenger of Allah, sent to you to warn you of a grievous penalty about to befall you if you do not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The Shaykh went on to say that the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, used this as proof to the people that he was the messenger of Allah. He used what they knew about him, of his good character, as proof that verily he was the messenger of Allah, sent with the truth to guide them from the depths of darkness. The Shaykh went on to say that all we find during the duration of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before al-Islam and after he became the Prophet, is a life filled of examples of his truthfulness. He says, so therefore, it only makes sense that the person who was given to being truthful all the time in all of his affairs, he is not going to come one day and suddenly begin to lie to the people. He said, and the proof of that is the ayah of the Quran, is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, a man will not cease to tell the truth until he is written down with Allah or to Allah as one of the truthful people. The Shaykh went on to say in concluding that the ulama of al-Islam, for this reason, they have concluded or included the good characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the good character of the Prophet, as proof of his prophecy.
ومن الأحاديث الشريفة التي تدل على أن الأخلاق الفاضلة والأخلاق الكريمة لها منزلة عظيمة عند الله، لها منزلة عظيمة في الميزان، من أفضل الطاعات التي يتقرب بها العبد، حديث معاذ رضي الله عنه الذي أخرجه أبو داود بإسناد حسن قال: أنا زعيم ببيت في أدنى الجنة لمن ترك الكذب وإن كان مازحا، وببيت في وسط الجنة لمن ترك المراء وإن كان مشقا. الرواية أعيدها: أنا زعيم ببيت في ربض الجنة، أي أعلى أدنى الجنة، لمن ترك الكذب وإن كان مازحا، وببيت في وسط الجنة لمن ترك المراء وإن كان محقا، وببيت في أعلى الجنة لمن حسن خلقه، وببيت في أعلى الجنة لمن حسن خلقه. ويقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث أنس: إن المؤمن ليدرك بحسن خلقه درجة الصائم الذي لا يفطر والقائم الذي لا يفطر، أي أن الإنسان المؤمن بحسن أخلاقه يبلغ درجة الصائم الذي لا يفطر، يواصل صيام الدهر، والقائم الذي يقوم الليل كله. فأي عزيمة أشد من هذين؟ رجل يصوم ورجل يقوم. من الذي يدرك تلك المنازل؟ الخلق الحسن. ويقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: أثقل شيء في الميزان خلق حسن. وسئل الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الأمور التي تدخل الجنة فقال: تقوى الله وحسن الخلق. وسئل عن الأمور التي تدخل النار فقال: الأجوفان، الفم والفرج. الفم والفرج، كل كل هذه الأحاديث مجتمعة تجعل حسن الخلق جزء لا يتجزأ من الإيمان. لذلك قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم أخلاق. أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم أخلاق.
The Sheikh went on to say that what he has presented is very clear for those who reflect. And he went on to say that there are so many hadith that explain to us and make clear to us the high and lofty position and the honorable position that good character has been given in al-Islam. And that good character is extremely important in the mizan, or in the scales of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many proofs and texts to show us that good character is one of the best forms of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the best ways that the abd can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if you want to know, for an example, listen to these hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that has been collected by Imam Abu Dawood rahimahullahu ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am the friend of the one who leads off lions. I am the friend of the one in the lowest part of the paradise who leaves off lying even if he's joking and playing. And I will be the friend of the one in the lowest part of Jannah who leaves off argumentation even if he's on the truth, or even though the truth is with him, he leaves it. And I am the companion and the friend in the highest part of paradise for the one who has good character. And then he went on to narrate to you another hadith, the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily the believer who has been gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with good character will reach the station of the person who prays, who fasts, and he never breaks his fast, and the one who prays all night and he never breaks his salah. The Sheikh went on to say, in asking you brothers, which one from amongst you can make this claim, that he is one who prays all night or he fasts continuously? Who from amongst us can lay claim to this fact? He went on to say, the one who has good character can do so. He also shared with us another hadith, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said, the most heavy or the weightiest thing in the scale is good character. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked in another hadith about the affairs that will cause a man to be entered into paradise. After asking this question, the Prophet responded to the questioner and he said, the fear of Allah and good character will lead you to paradise. And then he was asked about the affairs that will lead a person into the hellfire. So the Prophet ﷺ said, the two organs, the mouth and the private part. The Sheikh went on to explain that all of these hadith make it very clear to us that good character is from al-Iman, or faith. And to further elaborate for those of you who may not understand that, good character is from faith, he said, then pay attention to this hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most complete person from amongst the believers are those who have good character. The believers who are most complete in their iman are those who have good character.
ولذلك جعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مكارم الأخلاق وحسن الأخلاق تعادل الفقه في الدين، تعادل الفقه في الدين. فقال رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: خصلتان لا تجتمعان في منافق. خصلتان لا تجتمعان في منافق: حسن سمت وفقه في الدين. حسن سمت أي أخلاق حسنة وسمت صالح وتقوى لله تبارك وتعالى، وفقه في الدين. فلذلك ينبغي أن تقوم شخصية المسلم وبخاصة الذي يسير على منهج السلف على ثلاثة أمور: صفاء في العقيدة والتوحيد، ووضوح في المنهج والطريق، وأخلاق حسنة وتقوى لله. قد يكون عند الناس بعض شيء من العلم، لكن لا يكون عنده شيء من الأخلاق. قد يكون عند الإنسان صفاء بالعقيدة، لكن لا يكون عنده شيء من الأخلاق. وإذا كان عنده علم وفقه ونقام في التوحيد، فإن هذه لا تفيده في دعوته، قد تفيده لنفسه، قد لا تفيده في دعوته، هذه تجهض دعوته. ما الدليل على ذلك؟ خطاب الله لرسول الله. الرسول لا شك أنه أصح الناس عقيدة وأخلص الناس إيمانا وأوضح الناس منهجا وطريقة، رسول الله. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى: فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر. فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم. اللين علامة حسن الخلق. ولو كنت فظا قاسيا مع سلامة عقيدتك وكمال علمك ووضوح منهجك لانفضوا من حولك، لتركوك. فاعف عنهم إذا أخطأوا، واستغفر لهم إذا قصروا، وشاورهم في الأمر. هذه يا أخواني، يا أحبائي، يا أتباع محمد، تبين لنا أن دعوتنا دعوة مباركة شاملة كاملة، لا ينقصها سوى التطبيق، لا ينقصها سوى التنفيذ، لا ينقصها إلا أن نكون حقا مطبقين لها، عاملين بها، حاملين للوائها، رافعين لأركانها، لنكون حقا دعاء إلى الله على سبيل رسول الله. قل: هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني، وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين. لذلك يا أخواني، فلن نسع الناس بأموالنا، ولن نسع الناس بعضلاتنا، ولن نسع الناس بجاهنا، ولن نسع الناس بشيء من متاع هذه الأرض، إنما نسع الناس بأخلاقنا. لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم.
Sheikh went on to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made good character, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made good character to equal the fiqh in the religion. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith
that there are two characteristics
that you will never find being possessed by the munafiq or the hypocrite. That first characteristic is husn al-sumt, or good character, or the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you will not find the munafiqeen possessing is fiqh in the religion, or knowledge and understanding about the deen. The Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, that the Muslim, his shakhsiyah or his Islamic personality, it absolutely must be one that possesses three things, especially the Muslim who considers himself to be Salafi. And he cannot try to fool himself about this point, that his personality should consist of three vital ingredients. The first one being the purification and the purity of his aqidah and his understanding of at-tawheed, his ideology and his creed. The second point is that he must have in his possession clarification concerning his minhaj. And the third and final thing is that he must be a possessor of good character. The Shaykh went on to cite some examples of some people who Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has blessed them with knowledge, but they have not been given any portion of good character. And they are those of them who have been blessed with purity in their understanding and their aqidah, in that they do not make any one share with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His lordship or in His worship. So they have this purity in their aqidah, but they have not been given anything of good character. The Shaykh went on to say that if he has fiqh or understanding, and if he has a good aqidah, and if he has all of these other characteristics without any good character, then there is not going to be any benefit derived from his da'wah. That he will only benefit himself, but his behavior will in fact cause the da'wah to be rejected. The Shaykh went on to say, what's the proof of that? He said the dalil for that is the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, realizing that the Prophet was the best person in understanding his aqidah, and he was the best person in understanding the minhaj, and he was the best person in having fiqh in the religion. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told him in explaining this point that if you have this good aqidah and this understanding of this religion and this knowledge without aqidah, without good character, that it's going to be of no avail. Allah said to the Prophet, and because of Allah, you had mercy upon your companions and you were soft and kind with them. For verily had you been coarse and hard-hearted and harsh towards them, they would have dispersed from amongst you and they would have left you. But instead, forgive them and seek the forgiveness of Allah upon them or for them, and take mutual consultation with them. The Shaykh went on to explain that here, Ikhwan, is very clear that a person's aqidah can be correct and his knowledge can be good and plentiful, but if he does not have this good character, he's not going to be beneficial. Even the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, clearly Allah states in this ayah that the people would have left the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing alone. So he went on to explain these ayahs as if Allah ta'ala was saying to his messenger, if your companions and these people were to make mistakes, then forgive them and overlook them for these mistakes. And consult them mutually in your affairs and in their affairs. So the Shaykh went on to say, O my respected brothers, O my beloved brothers, O followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is clear proof that our da'wah, the da'wah to Salafiyah, is shamila, or it is complete. There is nothing that is missing from it, accept our application. There is nothing missing in terms of the ingredients that make it to be what it is, except us actually being truthful in word and deed. There is nothing from this da'wah that is missing, except us applying the arkan of this da'wah, or the principles of this da'wah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran to say to them, verily, this is my way. I call to Allah with clear evidence, with knowledge, me and all of those who follow me. And glory be unto Allah, subhanallah, I am not from the polytheists. The Shaykh went on to say, brothers, our money is not that which allows us to compete with the people. Nor do our muscles and our abilities allow us to compete with the people. Nor the honor that we possess, or the jah, the nice positions that we have, does it allow us to compete with the people in this dunya. He went on to say that the only thing that we have are these things that we mentioned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, O Muhammad, had you gave in charity or spent in charity everything that is in the earth, never would you have been able to bring their hearts together. But it is Allah who brings their hearts together. So this is proof that it is the good character of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that have the effect on the people in accepting this da'wah.
ومن نظر في سنة يجد أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يرشد إلى هذا الأمر الذي قدمت، إلى التكامل في الدعوة، إلى التكامل في المنهج، إلى التكامل في العقيدة. عندما أرسل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم معاذا أوصاه بعدة وصايا، منها قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت، وأتبع السيئات الحسنة تمحها، وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. هذا الحديث عده العلماء من الأحاديث التي عليها مدار الدين. لماذا يا أخواني؟ لأنه يبين الثلاثة أمور. اتق الله حيثما كنت طريق التعامل مع الله. كيف نتعامل مع الله؟ اتقوا الله حق تقاته، اتقوا الله ما استطعتم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولا تموتن إلا حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. يا الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم. تقوى الله، تتعامل مع ربك بالتقوى. وطريق للتعامل مع نفسك، تتعامل مع نفسك بالتوبة والاستغفار. إذا أخطأت، إذا ذليت، إذا أذنبت، تسارع إلى التوبة، تسارع إلى الاستغفار، وأتبع السيئات الحسنة تمحها. يعلمك ربك، يعلمك رسولك كيف تتعامل أيضا مع نفسك. طيب، يبين لك كيف تتعامل مع ربك ومع نفسك. لا بد أن يبين لك خدك للناس، ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا، إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. هكذا ينبغي أن نكون. وبهذا أختم هذه الجلسة اليوم، ونكمل إن شاء الله في الأيام القادمة، لنترك مجالا للأسئلة قبل المغرب.
The Sheikh went on to say, in concluding, that if you brothers took the time out to look to the Sunnah, you will find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has encouraged us and guided us to this. To what? To show us the completeness of this da'wah and this minhaj and this aqidah. And when the Sheikh mentioned the completion of this da'wah and minhaj, he meant it being balanced and it being total. He went on to say that one of the clearest proofs of this is the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to the people of Yemen. The Prophet gave Mu'adh a number of advices to follow. And from the advices that was given to Mu'ad is the statement that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, "Fear Allah wherever you are, Mu'ad. And if you do an evil thing, then do a good thing, and it will erase the evil thing. And be with the people with good character. Mix with the people with good character." The hadith again is, "O Mu'az, fear Allah wherever you are. And if you do an evil thing, then follow it up with a good thing, and it will erase that evil. And mix with the people with good character." The Shaykh went on to say that the ulama of al-Islam consider this hadith to be a hadith in which all of al-Islam rotates around it. And he said the reason why they consider this hadith to be as such is for three extremely important reasons that we need to take heed and pay attention to. He said the first reason is because this hadith shows the servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala how to have a connection with Allah. What should be their connection and their relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the hadith at the beginning said, to Mu'ad the Prophet said, to fear Allah, to have this taqwa. So therefore, the servant, he has fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His connection and relation to his Lord is that he should fear him. As Allah said in so many ayahs of the Qur'an, and fear Allah as he ought to be feared, and do not die except as Muslims, in the state of al-Islam, in the state of submission. In another ayah, Allah Ta'ala said, and fear Allah and say a word that is straight, right and exact and to the point. In another ayah, the Shaykh mentioned, and fear Allah to the best of your ability. So this hadith of Mu'adh shows us how the servant should fear or should have a relationship with his Lord. The second thing that this ayah or this hadith shows us is that it explains to the servant how his relationship should be with himself or towards himself. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Mu'adh, wherever you are, if you do a bad thing, then follow it up with a good thing and it will erase it. The Shaykh went on to say that we understand from this that the servant, when he makes a mistake or whenever he makes a sin, he's to make tawbah. He's to repent to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and ask for Allah's forgiveness. The third point of this hadith, obviously if the hadith shows us how to have a relationship with Allah and with ourselves, quite naturally it's going to also explain to us how our relationship should be with the people, how our relationship should be with the Muslims, how our relationship should be with the people who we're calling to al-Islam. The Shaykh went on to say, the aspect of this hadith that shows us that is the last portion of the hadith, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when you mix with the people, mix with them with good character. So he said, do you brothers see the completeness of al-Islam, and that the completeness of the aqidah of al-Islam, and the completeness of the arkan, or the pillars of al-Islam, that al-Islam is a religion that has been put in the scales and it is justly balanced. The Shaykh went on to say to us that we do not leave some portions of al-Islam and take other portions of al-Islam. But what we should do and what we are required to do is to mix everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered us to mix. And also the one who is giving dawah to Allah, the da'iyah, he needs to realize that if this is not his case, he's not going to be successful. He has to have this good character, as Allah said in the Quran, and do not walk on the face of the earth with your chest out. And in another ayah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, verily Allah does not love those people who are haughty and arrogant. And in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that verily you are not greater than the mountains that have been created. All of these ayahs have been cited by the Shaykh to show us that the one who is calling to al-Islam has to have humility, and he has to be calling to al-Islam with good character. And at this point, the Shaykh wants to stop and give the brothers an opportunity to pose to him some of the questions that are in their mind and in their heart, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of you with that which is good.
So for those brothers who have questions,
send your questions forward, inshallah.
The question should be written, Ikhwan. There's a reminder
that someone has put forth to the brothers, and that is that
there's a book that has been translated,
and it was authored by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, explaining the taqwa of Allah, or fearing Allah. The book is called The Concise Legacy. It has been produced by Al-Hidayah, so if anyone wants to get the book, I believe they have it available downstairs. The question is, while giving da'wah, some non-Muslims in this country question the character of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and use examples such as the death of Ka'b ibn Ashraf, la'natullahi alayhi, and the number of wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How should we respond to these accusations?
أولا بالنسبة لمن طعن في شخصية رسول الله أو في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، هذا طبعا من صفات المشركين أنهم يطعنون في الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. فمشركو العرب قالوا ساحر، وقالوا كاهن، وقالوا شاعر، وقالوا معلم مجنون إلى غير ذلك، طعنوا فيه صلى الله عليه وسلم. لماذا؟ هل اضطرابهم في طعنهم في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدل على عدم صدقهم وعدم وجود ذلك في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ لا يمكن أن تجتمع هذه الشرور في رجل واحد. ما سمعنا على مر التاريخ أن هذه الشرور اجتمعت في رجل واحد. فاضطرابهم في وصف رسول الله بهذا الأوصاف دليل على كذبهم. هذه قل ما يتنبه إليه يا أخوان. كل مرة وصفوا بشاعر، مرة بكاهن، مرة بساحر، مرة بمعلم مجنون إلى غير ذلك، هذا دليل على كذبه. لأنه إذا كانت الدعوة كذب تناقضت، ولو كان من عند غير الله لوجدوا فيه اختلافا كثيرا. إذا كثرت الدعاوى حول شخص أو عالم مما يدل على كذبها، هذه تنبهوا لها، وهذا ما يسميها للعلم الاستدلال بالقرائن. أنا أعجب كيف يستغرب هذا الأخ من الكفار. هل نتوقع من الكفار أن يمدحوا رسول الله؟ كلا، ولكننا عندنا حج عليهم أن علماءهم، أن مفكريهم شهدوا لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهذا الرجل الذي ألف كتابا في المئة الأوائل في العالم، لعلكم سمعتم به، من الأول في العالم في نظره؟ محمد بن عبد الله. مؤرخهم العظيم الذي يتبجحون به أرنولد توينبي يقول إن مشكلة الخمر والعنصرية لا يستطيع أن يحلها في العالم إلا محمد. برناند شو الذين يعجبون به ويتوجحون به يقولون لو قيل أن رجلا كمحمد يستطيع أن يصلح هذا العالم لما كان بعيدا. هذه شهادة علمائهم، هذه شهادة مفكريهم. فإذا كانوا هم كذلك فلن يلتفت لطعن من طعن في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى برأه مما قالوا وكان عند الله وجيها. لا شك كان عند الله وجيها. لكن لا بد أن تعلم أمرا آخر، أن من بعض أسباب هذا الطعن بعض الممارسات السلبية التي يمارسها المسلمون أنفسهم. كثير من الكفار ينظرون يا أخواني ليس إلى الأفكار، ينظرون إلى الممارسات، فينظرون إلى المسلمين فيرون المسلمين لا يلتزمون بدينهم. الإسلام يحرم الخمر، تجدهم الذي يكثر في البارات المسلمون. الإسلام يحرم الزنا الذي يطارد المومسات، حتى أنهم صاروا يسمونها شوارع باسم العرب، العرب المسلمون. هذا كل صد عن سبيل الله من حيث يشعر الإنسان أو لا يشعر. فيقولون لو كان دينهم حقا لالتزموا به، لو كان خيرا لطبقوه، لأنه يستحيل إنسان يعرف الخير ويتركه. فأيضا لا تلوموهم مرة أخرى ولوموا أنفسكم.
The Sheikh went on to say that these people who try to find bad things to say about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in and of itself is the characteristic of the polytheists, so it's not strange in the first place. We find that the mushrikeen of Mecca, they describe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a lot of descriptions that are difficult to even enumerate. They said that he was a magician, and they said that he was Majnoon, and they said that he was a poet, and they said that he was a soothsayer, and they said that he had the ability to give the evil eye, or the evil eye was worked on him. They said so many things about him in the Quran and in the Sunnah, that in the Quran that it's difficult to really number how many descriptions they gave to him. The Sheikh went on to say, this in and of itself is proof of their kadhib or their lying. He said, why is it proof? He said, because through the ages, when we look through the annals of history, we will not find that there's a single man who has been given all of these descriptions, and they're all present in one single man. He may be a liar, but he's not a magician. He may be a poet, but he's not a soothsayer. He may be Majnoon, but he's not a soothsayer. So the Sheikh said, the fact that they use all of these descriptions is a proof that they're only saying this because of something that they had in their hawa or in their nafs. So the Sheikh went on to say, you see, one of the descriptions of that which is not true is that it contradicts itself. As Allah says in the Quran, had this Quran been from other than Allah, verily you would have found in it much contradiction, much discrepancy. One thing would have been saying this over here, and then the Quran would have been saying something over there. He says, so when they make this claim that he's all of these things, we know that the reality of what we're living does not allow that to be believed. And he said, this is what the ulama call al-istidlal bil-qara'in, or coming to conclusions based upon signs that you see. You're able to come to a conclusion of something based upon signs, not necessarily based upon clear proof talking about that sign or that issue. The Sheikh went on to say, and another argument that we have against these people, that's the first argument. There's no way in the world this man can have all these characteristics. The second argument that we have against these people is that their own scholars have borne witness to the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a man who was honorable and was a man who had to be reckoned with. He said, for an example, all you have to do is look at the author who wrote the book, the 100 most influential men in history. Who did he put as the very first person? The Sheikh said, he said, of course, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he cited as another example what one of their historians said. He named the historian, but he pronounced the name with an Arabic flavor to it, so he didn't catch the name. This man said that the only one who can solve the problem of alcoholism and murder and justice and stealing, the only one who can solve these social ills was Muhammad. He said another example is what one of their thinkers wrote
Again, he cited the name, but he said it in a funny way. We couldn't catch the name. He said that this man said that if a person was to say that the only one who can rectify the way the world is today, that person, if he said that he was Muhammad, he wouldn't be far away from the truth. The Sheikh went on to say to you brothers that you brothers need to understand this last point. And he wants to make the tanbih to you about this last point. He said that the reason, or one of the main reasons, that these people talk ill about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is because of the negative response that is given when they look at the Muslims. He said that when we look at the Muslims and their actions, when these kuffar look at us, they say, look at these people. Here, wine and alcohol is prohibited in their deen and they're drinking it. Zina is prohibited in their deen and they do it more than anyone else, to the point that they become known as the people who want zina the most. The Sheikh went on to say that to the point that there are streets that they call the streets of the Arabs. I guess he's talking about Edgeware Road, places like this. So, the Sheikh went on to say that this behavior is what prohibits or makes the suds of the people coming to Al-Islam. Why? Because the people are saying, if these Muslims had a deen that was good, why aren't they practicing it? Because it's not conceivable, the Sheikh said, for a person to have good and something that's precious and he throws it away as if it's not anything and he doesn't work with it.
قد يستغرب بعض الأخوة كيف نستدل على أن من أسباب طعن المشركين في الرسول تصرفاتنا سوء أخلاقنا. هذا ليس اجتهادا عندي بل هو استنباط من حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأنه كثير من الأخوة يستغربوا كيف احنا نكون سبب في شتيمة الرسول. يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من أكبر الكبائر أن يسب الرجل والديه. هل تتصور يعني إلا الشواذ أن يقوم رجل ويلعن أباه ويلعن أمه؟ قالوا استغرب الصحابة كيف يسب الرجل والديه؟ قال يسب الرجل يسب أبا الرجل فيسب أباه ويسب أم الرجل فيسب أمه، أي هو بتصرفاته بفعله يكون سببا في شتم والدي، ونحن بتصرفاتنا نكون سببا في طعن رسولنا. لو كان رسولهم حق صادق لرباه لأدبه لالتزموا دينه. لا يستغرب أبلغه هذا التفسير.
الشيخ while I was talking obviously was looking in the audience and he saw on the faces of some of the brothers that they thought it was strange that the Sheikh would use what he said. And we're going to make the adhan now, inshallah. The Sheikh said that he see that some of you are looking at him strangely, as if to say, why is he saying that we are the reason that these kuffar actually talk bad about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How could he say that? The Sheikh went on to say, this is not from me. He said, this is from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that allows him to say this to you brothers, that you or the Muslims are the reason that the kuffar talk bad about the Prophet and about al-Islam. He said that's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam said, from the biggest of the major sins, you have the major sins and the minor sins. The hadith is, from the biggest of the major sins is for a man to curse his mother and father. The Sheikh went on to say, when we hear this hadith, quite naturally we're going to say, how is a man going to curse his mother and father? No one's going to stand up in front of the people and say, my mother is this and my father is this, except if he's a man who has gone, he's not natural. He goes against the grain. He's not like everyone else. He said that the Prophet went on to say, one of the biggest of the major sins is for a person to curse his mother and father. So the Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, how does a man curse his mother and his father? The Prophet ﷺ said, he curses another man's mother and another man's father. So that man curses his mother and then he curses his father. The Sheikh went on to say, he was the reason, and started off by cursing his mother and father, so he became the reason that his own mother and father were cursed.
Likewise, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
the people look at us, and they look at the Prophet, and they say, if he was really a prophet, and he was really truthful, and he really had the truth, then we would have taught those people, we wouldn't have left them like that astray, drinking, making zina, and doing these things. So as a result of that, by our actions, we are in fact causing the people to curse or to blame the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now inshaAllah ta'ala, after that we're going to allow the brothers to make the adhan, and then if the Shaykh feels, we'll continue the questions after Maghrib, and if he doesn't, we'll see what happens.